fuck, I'm serious, but, you know.
There you are.
This is the joy of, you know, literature, being around like minds, you know, book vendors and literary, you know, literary supporters that have radio shows and friends and group hug. Okay, let's do it.
I'm seeking this feedback. Where's that feedback coming from? Oh, you know what? I won't use my headphones because I think it's coming from the headphones. And as long as you're talking and we're talking, then that's fine.
All right, now if I move close to you, you're not going to have no problem here, are we?
No.
I'm not on. Well, I can't say that because this might go on the interview, but I got to.
Okay. So I'm speaking with William Frederick Cooper, the author of 6 Days in January, a moving tale of self-discovery. Now, the novel tells the story of a young man who shares the same name, William, as you. And I gather that is autobiographical in much of what is.
Yes, the things are well documented. It is semi-autobiographical, and it tells a story about a man who is struggling with love, and in order for him to lose faith in the man he's capable of being, you know, it's he has to recognize his insecurities and emotional vulnerability. I mean, it's something that we don't do. We really don't do it too much, too often.
In the novel, there's an exploration of the perceptions of what men are supposed to be. Are men the dogs, as some consider themselves, and women consider them, or should they show their emotions and be who they really are? It's something that bell hooks would consider soul murder. In growing up, young men were groomed and nurtured not to cry, etc.
It is.
In this book, William challenges that in his relationship.
It definitely disrupts the belief system that society forces down your throat, literally. I mean, you know, we're told as men that we're supposed to repress emotions. I mean, that's why we die before women do, because we repress so much. You know, and it's not released in a cathartic manner. I mean, and this is a story about a man who has to fight through what society has enforced upon us. You know, I mean, they tell us not to cry, they tell us not to emote, but yet when we experience emotional injury, how does it manifest itself then? I mean, it manifests itself in a negative way we treat women, you know, in a negative way we treat people, when we don't have any sort of outlet for these restrained, repressed emotions. It's why men die before women. I mean, it's why why some dogs in relationships just turn as dogs, because they don't know what to do with or have a fear of facing that emotional vulnerability or that emotional injury that exists in that mirror that they have to look into. Period.
Certainly one of the things that William has to face in this book is is the perceptions of those around him who consider his emotional expressions
weakness.
Either being weak or questioning his sex
orientation. It was, you know, when these things were actually happening, you know, it's very difficult to, it's easy to become insecure or it's easy to wallow in that self-pity thing. But as you grow older, you realize that, you know, the problem doesn't lie with the perception of you. Anybody's perception is their problem or their issue with you. I mean, their perception is their problem, basically. And, you know, it's difficult to tell a person that as they're going through it. Because if a person, you know, if people tell you that sensitivity is a weakness or sensitivity means that you're effeminate, too many times, if you're not secure within yourself, you start to believe it. And that's basically what happened to the protagonist in this book, you know. He went through some pretty interesting situations when young, and it caused him to get into a relationship, had he been more secure with them, destroyed his trust in women as a whole. And in order to renew that, he has to go take a look at all of that stuff that happened to him. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. And he has to do it in 6 days. And it wasn't pretty at all. You know, it wasn't pretty at all, especially, you know, of which includes what the question you alluded to. When a man emotes a degree of sensitivity, is he considered weak or whole?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that has to be examined.
So, in this tale of self-discovery, William, the protagonist, he goes through that self-reflection,
mm-hmm.
self-discovery within the 6 days.
Yes.
He does this when he is down and out.
Yes. It seems like it's always done. At the lowest. There's no way to go but up. Uh-huh. Sometimes that climb is arduous.
Yes.
You know?
But you did mention that this is semi-autobiographical.
Yes. Yes. It's about 65% true. Mm-hmm. I don't pull any punches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough because when you're dealing with people and they say the story is unrealistic, I'm like, yeah, this happened to me. So how can it be unrealistic?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I mean, it's a step, too, because you open yourself up to ridicule. And I've been ridiculed by some of my peers because I'm writing a story like this. And I'm like, but, you know, I want to show a wholeness of a black man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to show that we are whole men. We do have feelings, too. Mm-hmm. And because our feelings are repressed because of what society thinks, what other people think, it manifests itself in negativity, of which primarily the brunt of that is at the hands of our women.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because we don't now, with this emotion, we don't have an emotional outlet, we hurt women. You know? We assuage our pain by dealing with one dysfunctional relationship to another, as opposed to taking time out to reflect, resolve, recover, you know, and resume,
mm-hmm.
if we believe in love.
So, they can't see, the people that you just mentioned, they weren't seeing where you were coming from.
Well,
after you explained.
Well, you know what, it's a
fear.
It's a fear. It's
mm-hmm.
a fear, Neil. It's
mm-hmm.
a fear. People fear what they don't understand, and a lot of men don't understand their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, unfortunately, happen to be in the literary industry. They don't understand that wholeness,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when you fear something and you don't understand it, one of its manifestations is in ridicule and mockery,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because you're not in touch with that yourself, or you don't want to be. You're a product of society and its thinking, basically.
So you are writing in a literary tradition of there being other young African American men
mm-hmm.
like yourself.
Yes.
The Colin Channers, the Eric Jerome Dickens.
Colin Channers, Neil, Colin Channers, somebody I really look up to. He's
mm-hmm.
a dynamic writer, and his rhythmic, poetic flow,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it has anything to do with his Caribbean descent,
mm-hmm.
but he's a dynamite writer.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Jerome, E. Dickey, and Elin Harris, you know, they opening doors that opening doors for me that I'm appreciative of. However, as authors, we need to go deeper in terms of exploring the men and their vulnerabilities and their emotions. And I hope that we all can do that, you know. I think a lot of them fear this exploration at the hands of losing their sale
mm-hmm.
in terms of their efforts, you know.
Do you find that, because I know that I alluded to Bell Hooks earlier,
mm-hmm.
she has a number of books, a trilogy that she did on love,
yeah.
and her latest two are We Real Cool, Black Men.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Masculinity and Thinking About Change, and Exploring, and she talks about waiting for black men and waiting for the past, I think, 10 years or so to take on looking at how we're nurtured, etc., and challenge all that. And I seem to hear that coming out in this interview that we're having. So do you think that perhaps that kind of questioning of how we were nurtured has been happening among black women writers, but
I think people
not catching on where black men are concerned. Right?
Yeah, they're not catching on. They're not. They're really not. And you know, I think people fear them actually exposing this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they fear it. You know, I think a lot of the writers they might know about it, but they don't necessarily want to go there because it jeopardizes their livelihoods. And this would be in conjunction with a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Movements entail sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get a message across, you're going to have to make sacrifices. Hell, Jackie Robinson, when he came to play baseball, made sacrifices. People don't believe in that anymore, you know. Unfortunately, the almighty dollar distorts your belief. You know, you're chasing after that. So and sometimes you have to conform to what the people with the money tell you to do. And that's at a cost of uplifting our people. And you find that a lot. You find that a lot. I mean, you might know about those things. You might be cognizant of those things. But because I might jeopardize my livelihood, I can't write about it. I can't afford to take that chance. You know, I can't afford to take the chance. I think these issues need to be addressed so they can uplift us as a community as a whole. And a lot of them, they tiptoe through these issues. You know, but we need to talk about them. We need to talk about the nurturing and the development of our young boys and how we gotta, you know, how we can, you know, turn them into men as they grow older. And, you know, a lot of them just tiptoe around all of that stuff, and you just can't. You know, at the cost, they don't want to jeopardize their livelihoods. I've heard it on panels,
mm-hmm.
at symposiums.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wouldn't say it annoys me, but it's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta, if you're going to take a stand in terms of a movement, if you believe in something, it can't be altered for some contingencies or conditions. And sometimes I feel like they do that. You know, you're part of a movement, but if it's going to affect my livelihood, then I can't be a part of it.
Right.
Then are you really a part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Black Panthers, were they thinking about losing their lives when they made their stances?
Mm-hmm.
You know? The same thing with the upliftment and nurturing and the literacy of our people. There have to be stands made, and, you know, sometimes it may come at the cost of notoriety and monetarily.
I want to explore shortly the whole literacy issue because I know that you're heavily involved
yes.
in that. But
yes, it's something I take very seriously, Neil.
But this is your first
yes, it
novel,
is. Yes.
But you have written...